come on and spend time with Joe's people. Just slacking near the old cathedral. I'm so glad I'm one of Joe's people. And we'll have a lot of laughs, get closer to the Lord. Just chill out now with Joe's people.
Ladies and gentlemen of the interweb, welcome to Joe's People. It's a Catholic podcast, but it's not totally lame. Tonight on the big show, Joe interviews local singer, wedding planner, and all-around sweetie, Teresa Madeira. Also, we'll have some of his and Sam's usually witty banter as well. Actually, it's really just a whole lot of rubbish, if you ask me. In my day, you had Winston Churchill on the wireless, inspiring millions to go out and fight a war. Nowadays, you have a couple of boring, uneducated so-and-sos prattling on and on about goodness knows what.
Hey, stick to the script.
Right. Where was I? Oh, yes, and just a bit of music or poetry thrown in for good measure. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the man who makes me a better Catholic... Wait, I'm not saying that. You're a positively dreadful Catholic. You're like Henry VIII, you are. You would have made the Church of England break away from Rome.
Just say the line.
No, you only pay me in tea and crumpets.
Okay, I'll give you 3 shillings.
Oh, I'd like that. Shillings are much better than what they have now. I can afford that tin of biscuits now. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who makes me a better Catholic, Mr. Joe Geisler and Sam Higgins. Jolly good show.
So thanks, Joan, for that awesome intro for Teresa. And Teresa did the intro for you, so it's, you know, it's all fair. But
we're all friends here.
That's right. So I'm joined this week. It's not Sam this week. It's or on this podcast. It's my good friend Joe Morris. How's it going, Joe?
Good. Yeah. Sorry about all the Sam fans out there. I gotta.
There's gonna be riots. We're gonna get hate mail now that Sam's not. Sam will be back. It's just for this podcast. He's not. We're having my buddy Joe here. So let's see, Joe. So my producer tells me that okay, you're Catholic. And
check.
Yeah, and you're from Indianapolis.
That's right.
And I so I was I spent some time in
that's right.
We went Purdue to, as well.
We both went to Purdue. Probably at Purdue majors. At the same time, right?
Yeah, we were there for like one year. I think we overlapped or something. Right?
I think you wanted to be there more than I did, but
yeah. Well, you know, it's cold, I didn't mind it, but it was fun. Okay, yeah. So you're from San Diego. Well, not from San Diego. You spent you
I moved did.
To Austin from San Diego.
Yeah. So it's been a little time. In the San Diegan sun before I decided to get to Texas and warm up.
And what I liked is you moved here, you moved here without even having a job here, right?
That's right, yeah.
You
no,
just decided you wanted to come to Texas, right?
Loved it. Every time I visited here, it was fantastic and just knew, I had a feeling about it. And I actually bought a place and moved here before a job. I didn't know anybody. I wasn't even one of Joe's people.
You weren't even one of Joe's people. You didn't even have the same thing to be one of Joe's people.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I made the move and loved it. It was one of the best decisions of my life. So
that's called, I've heard people call that stepping out in faith, right? So
I'll take it. Faithful guy.
And then, you said there was a big Catholic young adult community in San Diego.
Yeah, people said that it was better than anything, like people that travel across the country, they said that community was better than anything they had seen. Just like huge. And here's a shout out to my St. Bridget peeps. I know everyone's, there's a huge following, I'm sure, in San Diego of, you know,
of
the podcast.
People, yeah. Actually, what I found is, it was interesting. I found that I got a lot of hits out of San Diego, out of Irvine. It just turns out my company's our web proxy was there, so it was actually me hitting from California. I'm like, I thought it was California fans, but who is this? No, it was me, pretty much. Yeah,
that's right.
But no, we do have people in California now.
Nice. Big shout to them.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting some fans from there, and we can get some of them excited about the show. And
I should say that you should feel blessed about having me on. And not just the name Joe, because
that's true. Yeah, just the fact you have the same name
Right.
You, it would get you and the bishop on just having her. That, we have a bishop too, so
I think that could, that, yeah, like stop time.
Even if he wasn't bishop, he could be on just because he's Joe.
Yeah, so, I think I would have you limited it to just Joes, but that's
could
just
do
me.
That. We got, I've got a couple Joes that could have one. So
yeah.
Wait, why I wonder. Okay, but yeah, no. So go ahead. You know, yeah, so, why am I blessed now?
Yeah, you're blessed. I was giving a talk yesterday at Pure Fashion, and the Miss Dallas said that I was a great speaker. So it, I don't That's know awesome. If it was the velvety smooth voice or just, well, I don't know what it was.
No, so is Miss Dallas available to come on the podcast? Is that, could we get her
study? We can work that out, that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got that going for me. And you have that going for you too now.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I mean, I have you on going for you. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Going for me. Okay. Well, that's good.
You're blessed.
I'm very blessed, yeah, to have such a humble guest on. It's awesome. Somebody that's even more humble than I am.
Right.
Because so, that's tough. That's tough that to get. Is, so, yeah, it's great.
Well, you have a good standard to achieve, aspire.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Yeah, you give me a goal. It's like you're, it's that as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens his fellow man. That's sort of, that's from Proverbs.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, I just wanted to finish your intro here. So now you're an author of several books, both fiction and nonfiction.
Yes.
So yeah, well, I got Wolf to actually, yeah, we could do a podcast on just one of those topics at some point.
Yeah,
so.
And I definitely want to come back. I'm writing a fiction right now about a modern miracle, and it's going to be targeted towards Joe's people.
That's good.
A Catholic, you know, devout, real Catholics.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, but Joe's people are, you know, it's all we got the Shiite Catholics, and we have the it's all. Everybody's Joe's people,
right.
So we got actually I have we got worldwide audience. So I have for a while my closest friends were my closest friend was Jewish. For when I came to Austin, actually my closest friends were Hindu engineers. So
wow,
so I got a whole mix. My sound guy is not particularly he's not a Christian. So you know it's very ecumenical. But yeah, that's cool. You got a book coming out. We can plug that.
Yeah,
when it comes out, we can talk about the genesis of it.
Definitely,
and all the,
come back about that.
We can get into that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh yes. Yeah. So as a result, so you have your own publishing company.
That's right.
So that's cool.
It's definitely the way to go in the new industry with social media and just the way the publishing industry has changed.
Well, that's what I heard. Somebody was lamenting. Somebody at one of the publishing houses or some reviewer was lamenting that. I think it was her exact words were that publishing is now becoming self-published dross, and I,
wow.
The word dross. And I thought
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds really excellent.
But I said I could write self-published dross. I'm in. So yeah. So I thought that was amazing. Well, that was sort of Lisa. I always have a Simpsons quote. Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
She found out that her Harry Potter author. It was all a sham that it was a made up thing, and she said any
wow.
five idiots can get together and write a book, and Homer said, hey, I know five idiots, I can write a book. So but yeah, so oh yeah, you're also in web development and you're my web designer, which is good. You got the Joe's People website up and it's looking nice. It keeps getting better and constant improvement, so that's good.
Yeah, and that's so. it's a sculpture, really.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a work
of
art
of that. Yeah, it's constantly being shaped.
So I think we're running okay here. Maybe what we'll do is take a little break and then come back.
That sounds good.
With Joe's people. Okay.
I want to hear that theme song again.
Okay, yeah, we can maybe do that. So.
This is Joan Pearsall. I'm 90 3/4, and I'm one of Joe's people. You're listening to Joe's People at joespeople.com. Thank you ever so much.
Are you looking for the best Catholic content on the web or wondering how your parish or ministry can take advantage of social and new media? Hi, I'm Jason Elizondo, co-founder of Austin Catholic New Media. Our team of bloggers, podcasters, and new media experts are dedicated to serving the church and spreading her message of God's love and mercy. We connect Catholics and collaborate on new and existing media projects in the Central Texas area. We promote and highlight the great things that Catholics are doing with new media in the Diocese of Austin and beyond. Our team is here to help educate your parish or ministry by providing education, support, and consultation on how to use new and social media to further your mission. We host the award-winning Two Guys to Grow on a Catholic podcast and are home of the best collection of bloggers and podcasters in the Austin Diocese. If you'd like to find out more about Austin Catholic New Media, make sure you check out our website, austincnm.com, That's AustinCNM.com.
All right, and we're back with my good friend Joe Morse, and we were talking a little bit about what's going on with his book. And actually, yes, I wanted to go back to we never asked how long you've been one of Joe's people now. So that was ever since you've been in town, right?
You it's actually fitting that we're on this with Teresa, because you two were two of the first people I met.
Okay, yeah, you came out to lunch with us after after Mass. Yeah, we went to was that when we all went to Mont-Pinel and Galaxy and Mont-Pinel?
That was cool. One of Austin's major attractions.
That's right. Yeah, and some people
it's
are
up there
here
with like Yosemite in California.
That's right. It's way up there. Yeah, exactly. So if anybody's listening around the world, I mean, you
just
gotta
imagine.
Think Yosemite, and then you know, it's basically that's Austin's Yosemite. I mean, actually Yosemite is California's Mont-Pinel.
Correct. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah. Exactly. So, but I think the usual thing is come here and visit, but you know, pretty much, you know, don't move here. I think that's hard. But you know, but you're welcome in the Joe's People, you know, universe.
Wherever you are.
Because the sun never sets on Joe's People now, so it's all But anyway, so I got a question. Humble though. But
I got a question though. When you called the podcast Joe's People, was that you or was that me, Joe?
We actually thought I'd call it Joes apostrophe. We might have two
J's on it.
Then we thought I was thinking, well,
that's just my humility getting in.
Yeah, that's just your humility. It could be about any Joes.
That's true.
But a lot of your people are my people too, though. So
that's true.
There's an overlap there
in your territory.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're. It had been like a subset, and now it's getting. Although you have other people. So, but yeah. Well, this is why this is kind of why I didn't want the Pope or the bishop to be necessarily on the show early, because I don't want him to think that that's a good name for a podcast.
Because
he'll have
him.
His own podcast, and it'll be Joe's People too. He's like, you know, I am he might think, you know, he's the Bishop of Austin. It should be
good idea.
His podcast,
right? Exactly.
So we don't want to give him any of the ideas. So because he's, you know, he could compete with me. So we don't. You know, we don't want that.
Bishop, I don't know if he's much competition.
we are worldwide, so I don't know. He's more local, really. So, but
he's
anyway,
big,
so
you should have him on.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'll try to have him on. And then, we wanted to talk about Pope Francis and the Chinese Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So
you spent some time over the Far East.
Well, yeah, I was in. I've been in Taiwan. I haven't been in China itself. So, in mainland China, there would be a whole issues over what's China, what's not. I don't want to get into the political stuff. I haven't been.
Let's not talk. About, we're already talking religion. Let's not talk politics.
I haven't been on the mainland,
also.
But I have been to Taiwan. But I guess there was a. So there was in the news. We want to talk a little bit about the only Cardinal Tong is the only Chinese cardinal that was in the conclave. So, by that I mean the only one coming from the mainland. There is a cardinal in Taiwan. I'm not sure if he actually participated though. But in fact, there may be more than one cardinal. I know there's at least one it's the Wanli Basilica in South Taiwan. There's a cardinal there. I'm not sure if he's the only one from Taiwan though, but.
Wow.
But yes, yeah, so the interesting thing was that he had talked with the Pope. Pope said that the Chinese Church is you know especially in his heart.
Right.
And it was interesting. So the Tong gave the Pope a small bronze Chinese statue of Our Lady of Shishen. So I guess we might have to do some follow up on that. The story behind Our Lady of Shishen. But as we know that you know the church in China, mainland China is the Catholic Church. A lot of it's underground.
Right.
So there is it is amazing, right? For you talked about in terms of representation, right? For there to be one
right.
Chinese cardinal,
maybe
the church
a little underrepresented.
Yeah.
In the conclave.
I guess it's hard to get numbers. We'll have to go look like how many Chinese Catholics.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's got to be as many underground Catholics in China that there are overground Catholics
in the U.S. Maybe
above ground.
Yeah, we'll have to or you mean yeah. and there is the whole thing of the official Chinese church versus the underground Chinese church, the state official church. But the I mean, it was just interesting though that the you know, he is the Pope of the world, so you know, he's the so it's sometimes we think that the of us being in the Western world being where Catholicism is, but it's universal, right? And in fact, it's interesting. I was advertising in Japan the other day, and we're the Japanese Catholics. But like I said, we have our following in Australia, so
right.
That's kind of interesting.
And you learned how to pronounce it, right?
Yeah, Aussies. Okay. Aussies. Yeah, Joe was giving me grief because I think I called them Aussies.
Yeah. That makes you cringe.
I have Aussie friends.
They will come at you with kangaroos, and they will mess you up.
Let's avoid the stereotypes, too, though. I've been told we can't do dingo jokes and things like that.
I spent some time there, and evidently they love the Simpsons.
Oh, the Simpsons episode there. Yeah.
Okay, that's took place there, so
yeah, that was cool. I know they have senses of humor, so they. I should give a shout out to Natalie. She's one of our listeners in Australia. She said she especially likes the poetry discussions, and I apologize we haven't had more poetry discussions since then. But
everything that you say is poetry, Joe.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That'll help me be more humble.
Sorry,
but I just thought it was. Also the Pope mentioned like St. Ignatius of Loyola, and you know, he especially, and you know, St. Francis Xavier were big on spreading the gospel to the Far East. So I thought it was thought that was interesting that he mentioned that. You know, there's a lot of talk about this is an Argentinian Pope, and now things are shifting to the West, right? But it's interesting. We've got to
bring it back to the East.
To the East, yeah. So.
Well, and they're. It's almost like they're recreating the beginning of the church, being underground, being illegal, basically. Right?
Yeah, being underground and being just like we were in the Roman Empire.
Exactly.
Right?
That's great. I mean, it shed some light on it. It seems like this Pope is doing everything right.
Yeah, I think he is. Although not to be a yes man, but yeah, we people like the Pope, and I agree. Yeah.
You can be a yes man around me.
Okay, that's fine. And then. And then we wanted to talk about. So you wanted to talk a little bit about pure fashion.
Pure fashion, yeah, it was a great program that I got to see be a part of it a little bit. One of the Joe's people, I think Katie Martin.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one, or she at least helped out.
We're going to have the two Katies on. Katie's going to come on.
Oh, great.
Katie and Katie will be on. So Katie Fujarski and Katie Martin will be on. So we'll get. I
need to be on that one too. Joe, and Katie.
Joe, and Katie. Yeah. We could do that maybe, like Joe squared, Katie squared, something like that.
Well, anyway, she was the one. She's one of the people that put it on, and it's just a program to help teach modesty and show, I don't know, just in the face of such an immodest culture, to help girls foment.
Well, encourage something like that.
Exactly.
Encourage modesty.
Yeah. And, I mean, basically, they're saving the world. They're saving humanity. Because you can't count on guys to save humanity, raise the morals. So the responsibility is left to the girls, the females.
That would be an interesting discussion. I don't exactly agree with that, but
okay.
I think it falls on both. But a lot of people would argue that the civilization is the level that women will tolerate, basically. But
I see that. Well, Fulton Sheen said that the history of civilization can actually be written in the terms of the level of its women.
Yeah,
and I think he's right about that. So you know, the higher.
Well, it reminds me of Henry Higgins' quote, which he's not as good as Fulton Sheen. No, it's not Henry Higgins. It was.
Are you trying to outquote me?
It was Holly. was a Holly Golightly? No, not Holly Golightly. It's Higgins' pupil. Man, this is bad.
Yeah, but you're much better at quotes.
I'm totally awful that I don't have her name. But she said that the difference between a princess and a maid is in a princess and a flower girl is in the way she's treated. So it's that, you know, they rely on men to treat them as princesses or treat them with dignity and with through
Interesting.
Sex.
Interesting. Well, yeah, and then I guess Fulton Sheen's perspective would be that they demand it.
Yeah.
And so if the women demand it,
yeah,
then the civilization will rise. If they don't demand it, it will fall. We should have a female here. We can have a whole.
I mean, yeah, that's a good. I mean, that'd be good to have a whole podcast actually on modesty and talk about.
I endorse it.
Yeah, I'm for modesty. I'm good. Yeah. So, okay. So, before we get too deep there, but yeah, we just wanted to also introduce or just talk about. So our other guest coming on is going to be our buddy Teresa Madera. So,
fantastic.
Amazing girl, yeah. Amazing young lady. And what's great. Interesting is that we've, we'll have one of Joe's people is Joan Pearsall, who's 90 and a half. And then, so there's a wide range of Joe's people. And then Teresa is, I won't mention her age, I'll just say she's in the early 20s. So it's a wide range. And like you said, you met me and Teresa at the same time. So
right,
it's,
yeah. So it's
so
apropos.
Yeah, it's apropos. Yeah, so we approve of Teresa, yeah. So. All right, so we'll great. Take a break and
looking forward to the Teresa.
Yeah, it should be fun. So, and thanks for being on Joe's People. And okay, we'll be right back with Teresa.
Joe's People supports Mobolos and Fishes in their mission to provide food and clothing and promote dignity to our homeless brothers and sisters in need. By sponsoring the Mobolos and Fishes annual family 5K fun run, you can support this mission too. This year's run starts at 8 a.m. Sunday, May 5th. And will help deliver 10,000 lunches to hungry children this summer. Go to www.mlffamily5k.org to become a sponsor and learn more. That's mlffamily5k.org. Thank you.
We're I'm joined today by my friend Teresa Madera. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
And so Teresa, now she's been she's acted as a timekeeper and producer and for the show, but today she's gonna be my guest, and
yeah, great,
we're all excited. So all right, so now how long have you been one of Joe's people?
About 4 or 5 years.
You don't remember exactly?
I think I had just turned 18.
Okay, really? Okay, so.
So,
no, we don't need to calculate.
Now.
Oh, you are? Okay. I didn't ask. I'm not supposed to. A gentleman's not supposed to ask a girl's age, really.
Oh, I'm not offended, I promise.
Okay, that's good. So, so now when we met, so, and I, you might have a different remembrance of this, but you were kind of lost. You didn't know where your life was going, and
I was not lost.
And then we found you outside the Bishop's Hall in the rain, and we gave you some hot soup. Isn't that the way it happened, or?
That's exactly how I remember it.
Is it? Okay. Yeah,
no,
I thought
really.
Something like that. Or it was, you were joining the Cathedral Young Adults, I think. And, yeah.
I think it was afternoon mass on Sunday. I had come up to you, and because they said that you were my contact, and you were like, oh, I'll introduce you to the whole city. And I was like, okay, yay.
Well, yeah, I remember, a bunch of us were standing around outside the Bishop's Hall, and you were actually kind of shy at the time, as I recall. And I'm like, hey, were you looking for the young adults? And you were like, yeah. And then, I'm like, okay, yeah, you can be one of us now, so. It was all good, though. And then, now you have a bunch of friends now. So your life's entirely changed now. So it's, I guess
you say that, yeah.
Has it, yeah. And then, yes, you have friends. And then, I taught you a little bit. I taught you how to swing dance.
Yes, you did.
And how to do some aerials, not a whole lot of aerials. But, we don't get that far off the ground. Just in case there's any liability questions. It's only like a foot or so. But.
Oh, I don't know. That's still a little adventurous. I kind of like that. It's fun.
Good. And you're light, so it's easy to fling you. So that's, that's a good quality to have.
That's exactly what every girl wants, to be flung.
To be flung around.
Yeah.
And then, now you said you made a count. Usually at one point you said, hey, I'm willing to volunteer at different nonprofit events. And I'm like, okay, that's good, because I'm usually tied into some sort of nonprofit or other kind of scam. So.
Yeah, and then the next week I got a text message saying, so you're going to volunteer, right, at this new, nonprofit? I was like, oh, sure, why not? And that just opened the floodgates, didn't it?
Yeah,
I think
pretty much, yeah.
Volunteered for, did I count, 16
that was the
nonprofits
number,
all over the city since I've met you?
Something like that.
That's a lot for 4 or 5 years.
It is. Yeah, you've been very active. Yes, you've become quite the activist. Yes. And then, Yeah, and now we put you to work doing ads and then making doing announcement, and then
I was saying otherwise you might be getting in some kind of trouble. So, but so we don't know.
Me staying out of trouble.
That's right. Keep you out of trouble. So, so now, okay. So you're Catholic, right? My producer tells me you're Catholic. So now,
I should hope so.
That's good. So now, who is your favorite saint, and other than the Blessed Mother? Because most people want to choose the Blessed Mother. So it's a question of, is there a, you know, do you have another saint that you relate to?
Saint Bernadette. She's my confirmation saint. I think the reason I love her so much, I mean, I love every saint, after all. I'm also named after Saint Therese of Lisieux.
Yeah.
But I chose Saint Bernadette as my confirmation saint because as a little kid, I just found her to be so humble, and I never had that sense of humbleness, and I really, really, really desperately wanted it.
Yeah.
So I always looked up to her. I loved reading her story, and...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, so you were telling us about being humble. And we're going to do a whole podcast on that, by the way, at some point. So I think you may be involved, but we'll see. But anyway, so okay. Yeah, you said Saint Bernadette was humble.
Yeah, she just had this sense of serenity that I always wanted. And her life wasn't, you know, spectacular and glamorous and all that. It was just, you know, she had a little bitty house and her parents didn't have a lot of money, and she just kind of went about her way and no one ever believed what she did. And I don't know, I really connected with her as a child because I kind of felt the same ways that she did. So
not a lot of people believe what you do either, or is it you find that, or
believe in what,
whatever it is you do, I don't know what, but is that how you're able to relate? Is but you're also in are you saying now you're in need of humility, or that you desire to be humble?
I think everyone's in need of humility, but...
Not me. My humility is awesome.
That's
but,
right.
But anyway, it's... But yeah, so sorry you were saying...
No, but I actually do think that I need to be a little more humble, and I've always wanted to be humble, and I just could never say that I was very so. And that's part of the reason why I love St. Bernadette. And another reason why I left her so much was because... one of the ways I connected with being a Catholic was through classic movies. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love them so much. And my grandmother, instead of giving me a Sunday school lesson and have me fall asleep in front of her with a book open, you know, we would watch Catholic movies like The Song of Bernadette, which is about Saint Bernadette. And I probably watched that when I was like 5 or 6 years old, and I fell in love with her ever since.
So what was it in the movie, though, that you... was it the scenes about the miracles that you liked, or what was it specifically about that movie that you liked?
I don't think it was only the scenes about all the miracles that she witnessed and that she tried telling people. I think it was the way she handled situations in her life that were very difficult, like people not believing her and, you know, trying to find the truth if, you know, she, and, you know, just struggling with whether she really believed it was, everything was true or not, you know, if it really existed. Because everyone was telling her otherwise, you know, the Blessed Virgin, you know, it's true, but you didn't see her, of course. I mean, that was just your imagination.
Yeah.
And she had to, I think, prove it to herself, not just everyone else, that she was believing it.
So it was that she stuck to her guns, and she told the truth, even though it was unpopular.
Yeah, and she was very strong for a young woman back when she was, you know, a kid, and not many women were supposed to be that way back then, so
yeah.
I think I also admired her for that.
And you can be strong on occasion, you know, when it calls for it. So, I do remember one time after a young adult event, I asked if you'd be okay walking to your car alone. And do you remember what you said?
I don't.
You said you said I have a stun gun in one hand and a and mace in the other.
Did I really say that?
Yeah. And, I said, okay, I guess you'll be okay then. That should do it. That should fend off any pack of people that attack you. So, yeah. But
I'm my father's child.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that. So, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I also wanted to ask, have you ever questioned your faith? Have you ever had moments of doubt? Or did you just buy it from the cradle Catholic? You just bought it all from the...
I have to confess, I'm kind of a cradle Catholic. I haven't really questioned very deeply my faith. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there have been times in, you know, my life, I'm sure everyone has those times, when they question, you know, the little things along the way.
Yeah, and, why,
you
know, is this happening?
Why is this happening? Why is this, you know, is this going to happen? Or God, why do you do this? You know, I don't like this. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes it's not about what you like or what you don't like. It's what, you know, he has planned for you. So it's just a learning experience.
It's all a learning experience. As is this recording, we're doing it outside in Westlake and in the wind. So it's sort of like NPR doing the fresh air thing with, you know, we're out on the street here in the, not quite in the hood though, but we're sort of, well, the high end hood, I suppose, but that's all the background noise and various people.
What are you talking about? It's pretty outside.
It is. It's gorgeous out here.
We should be flying kites and going running.
Yeah, we'll do that later. We'll go frolic in a leafy glade after we're done recording. So we'll run around though. All right. Okay. So we're gonna take a little break here and do some ads here, and then we'll be right back with Teresa Madair. Joe's People is brought to you in part by Austin Editing. Austin Editing provides quality editorial services on an as-needed basis to businesses and individuals in the Austin area and beyond. Why not let Austin Editing handle your document in regards to writing, editing, and any specialized formatting requirements, while you focus on the most important part, the content. Contact Austin Editing today at 512-655-WRDS. That's 512-655-9737. Or at austinediting.net on the web. And like us on Facebook. Okay, so we're back with my friend Teresa Madair. And, you're in your early 20s, but ever since I've known you, you mentioned you're into the 20s and 30s and 40s. You like the old movies, you like the old dresses, you like the old music, and that's kind of why you took to swing dancing pretty easily, actually. So now why, where'd this fascination with this time period come from?
My grandmama, you know how I mentioned she was the one who got me into classic movies as a kid to introduce the Catholic faith to me, because she thought that was the easy way for me to learn a lot of things was through movies, because I was a kid, you know? I mean, kids don't pay attention very easily.
Yeah.
And when I watched these old movies, I just felt so connected to them. And I started out with Catholic movies, and then she introduced me to Judy Garland and Julie Andrews and Greer Garson, all my favorite, you know, people. And they were so graceful and classy, and you don't get that a lot nowadays. You can really, really connect with them on a different level.
What about, though, people talk about, after Marlon Brando, that, like, you know, movies became more real, and, you know, that he sort of changed, movie acting because he had this certain method or whatever. I mean, in terms of films being, doesn't seem like the films from those times, some of them felt real, but some of them, I mean, they felt artificial, though, at the same time, right? But, I mean, I don't know. What's your take on that?
Are you talking about the films that were after Marlon Brando that felt different?
Well, I'm saying that there was sort of a shift in, I don't know. They claim that, there was this shift to more realism, right, and more grittiness, and more, that the movies in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, a lot of them didn't reflect real life, right? They were very glamorous.
Well, I mean, the reason people used to go to moving pictures is what they called it in the 20s and the 1910s. They went to it for pleasure because, it was a really happy time. It was the jazz age. And they went to it, wanting happy stories with happy-go-lucky things going on. And as the Great Depression came and then the World War II came.
They wanted to escape. Right?
They wanted an escape. So, and then after Marlon Brando hit the scene toward the, early 50s, he got really, really famous. There was such a shift because the studios had started changing. There was Louis B. Mayer from MGM. He had been replaced with another person, mm-hmm. essentially, is the short way to go about it.
Yeah.
And everything had changed from then. So, I mean, you had people that were from the modern age is what they called it in the 50s. Like, it was totally different than the 40s.
Yeah.
And everything had a new atmosphere. Everything was totally new and fresh, and they used movies as a way to present all angles of life. It wasn't just, the happy-go-lucky things anymore. It wasn't just kiss-kiss, the all romantic stuff.
Yeah. It was also, I'm guessing, the people coming back from World War II, maybe the soldiers had seen a lot of grittiness of life, maybe. And mm-hmm. maybe that got into the American consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the actors and a lot of the actors were in World War II. They were all soldiers. They had enlisted themselves, and directors had been enlisted too. And I think it was William Wyler who he directed Mrs. Miniver in 1942, and that was essentially propaganda for World War II. And it was about an English family and how they essentially went about taking the beginning of World War II in England. And when he went off to war and then came back, he had said that he had done not enough justice, because he said the war was so bad, it imprinted on him in so many ways, you know, mentally and physically, that just no one knew, because they were so naive about it. So after that, then movies became, you know, a little more realistic.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, you mentioned wartime propaganda movies. I mean, there was, Casablanca, obviously,
is a big one
of those. One of my other favorites was Pittsburgh with John Wayne. And I know you don't like Marlene Dietrich all that much, so. But I just like it because it's about Pittsburgh. So, it starts out just seeming like it's about Pittsburgh. Then it ends up as a propaganda film about making enough steel to just swamp the Nazis with production, basically, right? So,
That was one of his more rare films. I like that one too. I like Marlene Dietrich.
Yeah, okay. I thought you didn't like Marlene Dietrich. So, now how many? I remember you said you own a lot of old movies that you haven't watched yet. Now, how many did you say you own?
Over 3,000 movies in my library of classic films, spanning from 1900 to about 1990.
Now, where did all these come from? How did you amass this massive library collection? Although, you know, it's okay. We don't have to address that if you don't want to. But anyway, it's interesting. 3,000 movies. So, yeah, did we calculate out how long it would take to watch 3,000 movies? So, I guess we can do that another time. But it just seems like it might. That's if you're watching them 40 hours a week, right? It would take a couple years, I think we were thinking. So
at least.
But, yeah. And you like the old dresses. So the swing dancers will do vintage stuff. Sometimes, and then
love going swing dancing. That's so much fun.
And then also the vintage, they're big on hitting the vintage shops around town, right? Do you ever you do that sort of thing too? I'm guessing.
Oh, I probably know every vintage store in the city of Austin.
I did get a suit from the '40s at one point, but I still need to get it altered. So, we're outside. There's a bird that's looking at our food right now, he's giving me a nasty look. The other thing you plan weddings now, and how did you get into that, and why do you enjoy doing that?
I've been planning weddings since I was a teenager. I love it. It's just the dresses and the flowers, all the pretty things around, and it was a way to connect to God too. You know, I mean, a lot of the couples that I deal with, they get married in the Catholic Church, so I mean, it's really nice to share that with other people.
And it's a sacrament, and it's good that, you know, like people, we remember, to focus on the fact that it's a sacrament, and then a sacrament first and a party second, basically, right? But you have to do you have to plan both of them, really. But,
yeah, find the important things, you know.
Yeah. Did you want to plug your business or your website? Did you want to mention
it? Sure, why not?
So go ahead. What's the name of it?
My business name is Heart to Heart Special Events.
Okay.
And I usually deal with weddings not only from Austin, but all around the state of Texas.
Okay. What other cities have you worked in? I mean,
All around Austin. Basically all surrounding cities, even outside cities, during the around the north areas of Texas and south areas. So, I mean, it's really anywhere that people want me to go.
And what about, so mention your website, too.
Oh, yes. It's called htoevents.com, htoevents.com.
Okay, so H, not the number two, but T-O.
Yeah.
H-T-O, okay. All right, cool. And then, and then when people give you their money, what do they get now for it? What all do you do? Pick out the flowers for them? Do you,
I can help them pick out flowers, absolutely. I can do pretty much a little bit of everything for them. If they want me to plan out about a year or even more in advance, I can. If they want me to just do the day of, that's easy as well. I mean, it's really what up to the couple as they want. Some people love planning a lot of it themselves. It's really up to them.
You ever had some real bridezillas that really get in your face?
You know, everybody asks me that question, and I think I, for, you know... every 10 weddings, there's just, like, one bridezilla, quote-unquote, but that bridezilla isn't even that evil. They're just really stressed. Well, I mean, when you really partly. Think about it, I mean, you have a lot to deal with. It's your wedding day.
So they're stressed
that's
out.
It's a really big day in your life.
Yeah, they don't mean to be nasty. They might be perfectionists, possibly, maybe. Or they've been planning this their whole life, right? And they want it to be perfect, right? So,
yeah. But,
have you seen the YouTube video, the bride that takes the vows in front of the pole?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, you ever had one of those? Or you didn't? Okay.
No, I haven't had one of those yet.
Yeah, I don't recommend doing that. We're getting a gust of wind now, in case you're wondering on the audio, but it all leads to the veracity of being out here in the gritty part of the city. So
the wilderness. But,
yeah,
Joe,
yeah
the
we're out in the wilderness. So, but. All right, well, cool. It was great to interview you, and you've been working behind the scenes, and now you're going to be one of our stars. We'll have publicity photos, and one other thing I want to mention, you have a burgeoning singing career, which we're probably going to have you sing at some point, but you're interested in singing as well, right? So
that's probably my other passion in life, other than my faith and my family and old movies. Singing, I have to sing everywhere I go, and I live an hour from where I work, so I spend a lot of time in the car.
So you sing in the car to yourself.
Every single day, from and to, everywhere, I sing. Doesn't matter where I am.
Yeah. I suppose that's allowable, I guess, yeah. It's okay.
It's quite fun. Makes life really interesting.
I may or may not do that. I'm not going to own up to it if I do. But, I think we're out of time anyway, so we really can't get into that. So.
Chicken?
But, yeah, so... Anyway, it's been good having you on the show, and what else? We'll have to list your website and everything on the podcast. And... we'll be right back with some other things on Joe's People. We'll see you, Teresa.
Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, we're back. I just wanted to thank my friend Joe Morse for being here, being on the show, and for being one of Joe's people who actually is also a Joe. So did you have any closing thoughts?
Thanks for having me. Wow, the pressure.
It's all good.
How about this quote? Fulton Sheen quote: unless there's a Good Friday in your life, there can be no Easter Sunday. And yeah, I don't know which category Joe's People podcast falls into, but either way, it's going to be good for your life. So
that's good. Yeah. This could be a Good Friday. So yeah,
it could be either suffering or pleasure, but it's going to be good.
It'll be good. Yeah.
Good for your life.
It'll either be a redemptive suffering or it'll be it could be a little both at the same time, possibly. There's some redemptive suffering going on. Yeah, and it's some fun. You know, a lot of fun. Cool. Well, that's a good takeaway. We'll think about that. And then but I also want to thank Teresa Madere for doing the interview and being on the show. And my buddy Bill Meadows, who's our sound guy, who does all the mixing, makes us sound good. I also want to thank Dolores Diaz, who works behind the scenes in various capacities. She's helping out with the website, helping out with all sorts of things. I want you to, if you guys could go visit our website at joespeople.com to check us out there, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/joespeople. And I want to thank you for spending some time with us in our walk with God. And this is Joe Geisler.
Joe Morse.
Joe Morse signing off from Austin, Texas. So good night. God bless.
Thank you. I'm so glad I'm